Welcome to this week's edition of Holy Apostles' Weekly Sermons.
Sunday, on the Sunday of Orthodoxy, we spoke a little bit about the Lenten theme of struggle, and specifically of the way the Lenten Sunday seemed to build up to a theme of inner spiritual struggle against the passions. There's another theme for Great Lent which is revealed to us today, which is the theme of healing. And it's very important to tie that together with the theme of struggle, because we don't struggle simply for the sake of struggling, right? Struggling is not something people generally prefer to do. There's a purpose behind it, and the purpose behind our struggle is to receive healing. The Christian tradition acknowledges that to every human being, there is that aspect which we see, the material, physical aspect. And then there is another aspect which is unseen and immaterial. And of course, the Christian tradition is not unique in this respect. It's probably the sort of thing which is obvious to anyone who doesn't have an iPhone in front of them all the time. But nevertheless, in our particular tradition, we understand that the human being is made up of that which is physical, visible, material, and that which is immaterial and invisible. And in fact, that which is immaterial and invisible, we would say, is the more important aspect of ourselves. The Lord, whenever he is confronted with this man who's sick of the palsy, approaches it in this very way. The people, his friends who are bringing him to the Lord to be healed, cannot even squeeze into the house because there are so many people there, so they go to extreme measures. They climb up on the roof and they break up the roof and they lower him down. It's an image of, you could say, intense desperation, but I would also say it's an image of intense love. How will we get our friend who is sick in front of the man who can heal him? And when they go to these extreme measures and break up the roof of the house and they lower him down, which I think all of us, I always kind of forget what a terrifying thing that must be. The poor man who can't even move himself, and so his friends decide that they're going to carry him up to the roof and lower him down that way. When he's lowered down in front of Jesus, Jesus approaches him in specifically this same method which I just described to you. That is, he approaches first the immaterial, invisible, but ultimately more important aspect of the human person. And he says, "Thy sins are forgiven." The forgiveness of sins is equated by the Lord with the physical healing of the physical material body. So that we understand what it means to be physically ill or crippled or corrupt in some way. Sin acts in the same way on the immaterial, invisible aspect of the human person, which we refer to as the soul. So the Lord, whenever he sees the man crippled physically, the first thing he does is he heals him spiritually. He heals the man's soul. He heals the man's invisible, immaterial part. And he does it precisely by forgiving his sins. And then whenever they who are standing by think within their thoughts, that think within their hearts, that this is not something that man is capable of doing, but only God, Christ gives evidence of his divinity by then promptly healing the man's body as well. But you notice that he doesn't do that first. Even though that's, we could say, maybe perhaps the most obvious thing, and it's clearly the reason that his friends went to these extreme measures of breaking the roof up and lowering down. That's what they wanted, right? Heal our friend from this palsy. But the Lord approaches it in an utterly different way. He heals his soul first. What good does it do to have a healthy body and a sick soul? What good does it do us if we have all of the physical health we could have, and yet we're utter and complete slaves to the passions? It does us no good whatsoever. The Lord says elsewhere, what good does it do a man if he gains the entire world and yet loses his own soul? So the Lord teaches us and points out to us that this invisible, immaterial aspect of our person is indeed the more important thing. And the healing of that is the more important thing. It is more necessary for us that we be healed in our souls. And that healing is equated by the Lord with the forgiveness of sins. The season of Great Lent is a time specifically for us to engage this healing, or this, as some of the fathers refer to it, as the therapy of the church. To confront the sins which exist within us, to seek forgiveness from the Lord, and to struggle with all of our might against repeating them ever again. The sins are those things which are listed for us in the scriptures, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. I don't have time to enumerate all of them for you today. But the discipline of the great fast goes beyond that. Goes beyond simply saying, don't sin, right? Because for Christians, it's never permitted for us to sin. It's never permitted for us to invite spiritual illness into ourselves and then to enjoy it. Lent is not a time for just abstaining from sin. We do other things during Great Lent, right? We abstain from other things. We abstain from certain kinds of foods. We strive to exert ourselves in prayer. We strive to give alms. Eating meat, eating cheese, is not a sin. Nevertheless, it is something which perhaps we are a little too attached to sometimes. You see, even the good things in this life can become distractions for us. Even the good things in this life can become an occasion for us wandering away from Christ, wandering away from the healing of our spiritual inner man, and we can find ourselves very easily led astray in these ways. So the season of Great Lent, the Church prescribes for us to abstain not just from sin, which we always abstain from, but from things we might enjoy, so that we can come to a greater knowledge of ourselves. We have to come to a greater knowledge of ourselves to understand the illness of our souls. And we have to understand the illness of our souls so that we can struggle to seek forgiveness from Christ and to cease the behaviors, the sins, which continually separate us from Him. So my brothers and sisters, I've already talked long enough, I encourage you to engage the season of the Great Fast deeply. Don't make it just a time of abstaining from foods and then sitting around the table and talking about what you'd like to eat after Pascha. I have to confess that the conversation generally degenerates in that direction in my house. But let's not do that. Let's abstain from the foods we are called to abstain from and give thanks to God for what we have. Let's shut off distractions, shut off screen distractions and all that sort of thing. In our houses, at least. I know work requires them, but at least at home we can shut them off. Spend some time in silence. Spend some time in prayer. Precisely to strive to come to a greater understanding of ourselves, of who we are, what the deep condition of our soul is, and what it is that we have within our own power to do, that we can strive by God's grace to bring about some kind of correction, and at the very least to beg Christ to forgive our sins, that we too may be healed primarily in our invisible, immaterial, spiritual man, and then, as God wills, with any physical ailments we suffer from. To God, the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be all glory, honor, and worship, to ages of ages. Amen.